sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John! I am... Bring her back!
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing The Surrender. As always, John will give us the plot in five words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice, so you can hear every episode. Maybe not every episode, because some of them early stuff is rough, but... Then they can hear the latest episodes and enjoy our new format where we don't have a TV show.
No TV show. And we know we have opinions about, like, you know, when I order a fountain drink, I don't like for it to be watered down. So fuck ice.
Yeah. You can't spell ice without oppression. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think you can, actually. Hold on. Oh, no. It would be a pressin. Preston, no, there's no E. So.
There's no E. Fuck Trump. Alrighty. The Surrender. John, are you ready to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For The Surrender, coming in at number three, Daddy's Girl fights for money.
See, it was already funny on its surface, but then you had the little money. It just made it better.
Coming in at number two for The Surrender, Big Trouble in Little House. Yeah.
A theme. I'm sensing a theme. You're not very negative or making fun of the movie, but it's...
And coming in at number one for The Surrender, Mother Attempts Resurrection Without Consent.
Dude, that's literally the whole plot of the movie. I think is it coincidence, fate, or just dumb luck that The Surrender almost has the exact same plot of the movie we just reviewed, Bring Her Back?
Yeah, except like one is clearly good and one is, as Marker 764 puts, save yourself the pain. This started off bad and got worse.
Oh man, that is, I always go to Marker Pain, or what is it, forever?
Marker 764.
I'm more of a 765 Marker guy. Yeah. Myself.
That guy's overrated.
That guy's overrated.
He's like Mickey 18, right? We all root for Mickey 17.
Right, yeah. I mean, I just think it's interesting that this very, I mean, we know we're joking, right? But like this very similar things of grief, right? Resurrection. Yeah. We're dealing with, you know, family, kind of like a family dynamic. They're torn apart, family drama and stuff like that.
And one person's very selfish, right?
Right.
It's like, you know, did these people ask to come back from the dead? Like, you're just doing it for yourself, right? I think that's a lot of the themes for movies where people try to bring somebody back, and of course they don't come back the same exact way. And I think the idea is like, I think the idea is like, well, you know, they don't, maybe they didn't want to come back to begin with, and this is what you get for doing something without somebody's consent.
Right.
Trump.
Yeah, and... I think, like, it's fascinating that the opening shot of this movie is very similar to Bring Her Back, where we're kind of shown something a little that we don't quite understand the context of, it's a little bit, like, jarring, because it's, if I remember correctly, it's like some sort of creature with arms coming out of its back eating something, and something kind of like a nondescript type place with white circles on the floor, which I'm not describing Bring Her Back. So I'm literally describing. It's funny that these movies open the same. I'll go off and just say, like, I really liked, one of the highlights is I liked the sort of performances of our two leads. I thought for like this movie's basically like a two-hander. It's basically a play, right? Like, there's really not a lot of characters involved.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, I think man, the writing in this one is just real weak. It's
right.
pretty poor. I think that's the biggest crutch of this film.
Yes, this is writer-director Julia Max, who I think this is like her first feature. And
okay.
I was very, I really liked Kobe Minifree. I hope I'm saying that right, from The Boys. I thought she was great as the daughter. And I really like Kate Burton, too. As the mother, she's one of those like actors you see in a lot of and stuff like that. So this is kind of like she doesn't always get a lead role. So it was nice just to kind of see her.
Wasn't she a reporter at one point?
I don't know who.
Like I thought she was like a reporter. There was like I remember some scandal with something called the Pork Chop Express, and they were in Little China.
I didn't realize that's her.
And her friend Kim Cattrall.
That's true. She's the other friend. The funny friend.
the funny, the reporter friend, the reporter right? Friend. The one that ends up getting with like...
the goofy guy. The goofy...
Yeah, I was going to say the guy that you know 100% would be cast as Randall Park today. Like,
yeah, exactly. I really liked... I thought they did a good, really good job in, you know, acting, believability and stuff like that. But I think part... And now here come the negatives, right? I'll say one more positive. I'm going to do positive negatives. So that was one positive. I thought acting was pretty good. The actors were really good in it. I think the second thing I liked about it was there were some like nice moments of horror that I liked. Some genuine tension moments. They're few and far between, you know, they don't come very often, but they are there. And frankly, I don't think there's enough of them to kind of like make it a satisfying viewing, but
I gotta say it was kind of boring.
I'll echo the same thing you're saying. Like, yeah. I thought the script, I didn't think the script was really, I didn't like the script. I think it was too, I felt like my biggest issue was, and they, as characters would explain what they're feeling in scenes when
you don't have to just portray it.
Less is more, right? That's sort of a amazing thing the Philippou brothers did with Bring Her Back. Like they didn't really explain a lot of stuff, but you kind of got what the gist is.
Yeah, I was gonna say it feels like they had a competition or like we're gonna write the same exact script in opposite sort of feels in directions.
I feel like this movie's a little more smaller in scale, more sort of honed in on the relationship between a daughter and mother. And even the end credits is like for Susan. I wonder who this is for, especially without spoiling it. Like literally the first credit is for Susan. So I'm assuming this is about something very personal with Julia Max probably went through her life. So it comes from a very personal place, but.
Which not even, I mean, it can't, I mean, I guess ironically,
right.
Bring Her Back also had a dedication immediately.
Oh my God, that's so true. Yeah. That's right. That's true.
And was, they changed the ending of the movie just to fit what they were feeling.
Dude, it's like we planned it, but didn't. But totally didn't. Yeah.
If you would like for us to compare two movies that are similar, unfairly compare two movies that should not be compared to each other because it is unfair and unfair and also unfair.
Yeah, and I also, I hate to be the negative person, but I also feel like the cinematography was kind of boring. I felt like everything was, and I think you would understand this, like the whole production was very small. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They literally just got a house in North Hollywood, right? Some nice looking house or something, you know? Yeah. And I just felt like the house didn't have any character. It felt too modern, too contemporary. And it just like, because of our film background, I don't know if you felt this way. Like, I felt like I could see the seams of what this movie is or was, or I was made or been a part of a set like this, a production like this.
Yeah.
Does that kind of ring true to you too?
It definitely felt like people were getting paid like $125 a day.
It's very specific.
Yeah. Which I know probably sounds like a lot of money to certain people, but it's not.
Big scheme of things and what you're asked to do. I mean, that's any job, right? You never get paid enough. Yeah, and I just felt like a lot of those, I hate to harp on those things, but like it was very uninteresting, the production, the design, or like, well, what are, or like even some of the camera work I didn't find particularly interesting. Seemed very, very safe.
There was like maybe one cool moment at the end where somebody breaks through a floor and ends up in like a mirror or something, right? That was very like, this is cool, but you can totally tell how they did it. It kind of reminded me, did you ever see the movie Low, L-O?
No, I don't think so.
It's about a guy who summons a demon to get his girlfriend back. I think it's a really amazing, like, indie effort. And it is written and shot basically like a play. And to even add to that, when he summons his demon, the demon's trying to showcase, like, is this the girl you're talking about? And they bring out, like, a stage, and it's like he's watching a play of his life. And it's, like, really interesting movie. It's a horror movie.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that because at least they're trying to try something different, right? I mean, this is, again, like, I want to give people an impression of what I feel like the film looks like, which was probably, like, on level of a Lifetime movie. Like, very safe, very, like, uniform. So it was, and some of the dialogue was not great. So it was just, like, kind of a tough movie to sit through, and being her first features are hard, right? Bravo to her for fucking getting this movie made and getting exceptional actors in it. That's definitely a feather in her hat, right? But, like, this definitely feels like a first effort.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And I'm trying to see, like, I guess it's just been shorts before that. I don't know. Yeah, it's like a lot of things. I gotta admit, like, the design of it wasn't all that interesting. It was also kind of safe, but it might be a low budget thing. Maybe it's a low budget thing all around.
I say that because I don't want to, like, I'm not trying to, like, shit on the movie, but I just want to paint a picture of the quality or what I experienced watching it or the thoughts I had watching it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's okay that it's bad. It's, you know.
It's okay that it's bad.
Yeah, if you look at the resume of the movies I worked on, even on IMDb, like, yeah, like 90% of them are bad movies.
The Runaways.
But I enjoyed The People. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, The Runaways. Yeah. That was a television show.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Different budget bracket.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest movie I had for a long time was The Lone Ranger, and that movie sucks, too. So.
Yeah. No.
But, yeah. Other than that, I mean, I don't know.
You want to get into spoilers? Did you have any other thoughts before we get into spoilers?
Other than I thought the acting was good, I think the direction was also lacking, I got to admit. Like, some of the moments were nice, like when what's her name? Shit. Colby would sneak away to go smoke a cigarette, and then randomly, like, she would see her dad who had passed away and talk to him. I thought that was nice. I just don't know if the direction Colby's character was always going in was the right one. It was a lot of just, like, manic, like, anxiety, which is fine, but I don't know.
Yeah. I'll say quickly that I felt like when the movie started, it opens very, like, whoa, what the fuck's going on? Like, let me pay attention. And for whatever reason, when we get to, like, the house and we're, like, going through their daily routine, I kind of felt like, is the world going to end? Like, where is this? Like, what's going to be the dramatic shift to where we open the movie, where they've opened the movie, right? Like, how do we get from this boring, drab looking suburban home to, like, that? And I maybe unsurprisingly, it was very interesting how they did it, how we got there. For me, it wasn't like if something was just off.
No.
Off from, like, the beginning of the movie, I just felt like something was just off. Would you echo that? Or
no? Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it's just the writing, like, what happens at the very, very end. I was also like, oh, come on, you know, like, it just, I don't know.
It also feels like these are tough movies, especially, like, what would you describe this? Like a resurrection type movie? Like, there's a ton of these types of movies, and they all feel similar, and it's just about bringing something unique to say about it, or kind of inverting some of the tropes of this genre. Like, I feel like, I think Bring Her Back did a better job. It's all, like, I hate to keep bringing that movie up, but we just literally just saw it, so
because it was also very good. You know, like, yeah,
but
even though you had your qualms about the end, it was, like, a really good movie.
Yeah absolutely. I have no complaints about the filmmaking, right? Like, that, like,
no, yeah, 6.5.
Let's get that was your rating, sir, not mine. Yeah. So I just feel like Philippou Brothers, like, just, I don't know, they just made a more interesting resurrection movie and than what we got here. And I think a lot of that falls on first time director making the first feature, not a director, but, like, first feature. So cool.
I think it's also tough. I don't I don't think a lot of people realize. I think people assume having less characters is easier, and I'm like, no, you have to like really make them interesting the whole time, and it's really difficult to do that. Because a lot of this movie was them back and forth, just don't do that. No, we have to do this, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can only go through that so many times before you're like, okay, where's the movie going? And that's at a point, I think it doesn't really shift until like the 50-minute mark or something like that, where I was like, okay, finally. Like, I don't think I need, like, we could have cut like 20 minutes out of this movie and it would have been the same exact thing.
It's one of those where it's obvious she wants to tell, she's more interested in the mother-daughter relationship, and the sort of like the supernatural stuff doesn't feel as important.
Yeah.
But she's kind of using it as a device to tell this other story of a mother and daughter. So.
Which I guess is the, wow. Because that's exactly what happened in Bring Her Back. the movie was about the relationship between like the kid and his sister, like the son, his sister, and his father.
Right.
And then the new relationship between, yeah. It,
well, I feel like, oh man, dude, I hate talking about Bring Her Back, but I feel like the Philippou brothers did an excellent job of relaying the anxiety or like their troubles visually, because we have that amazing sequence of Andy using the shower for the first time, because he's having this whole like phobia of just not using the shower, because that's where they found their father. And the way they did that scene was like nightmarish, you know. It was
where he's on the ground and he has like this huge schlong
and he's like the dead father's naked, talking to him through the plated glass or whatever, and it was just like incredibly creepy. Yeah. Or even when keep talking about it. Piper, the way they represented her in the very early in the movie, when she's like walking around the house and stuff like that, you can the I don't know what lens it is, but it's like she's kind of looks like it's like kind of like eye Doppler, you know, like this sort of like unfocused thing to kind of just show her how she kind of moves through, putting her point of view, you know, so you can kind of see what her life is like. And I feel like those are really, really strong, effective visual ways without having to like say things to be like, to tell you who these characters are. They did it visually. And I feel like this movie could use a little bit more of that, because I'm really glad you brought up the scenes with the father, because that comes up quite a bit, right? There's a couple of, like, she's kind of like reliving flashbacks, reliving through moments. Not enough, maybe, but those maybe were effective enough moments. Yeah. When every time he showed up and stuff like that, those are really good directing. Alrighty. Do you want to get into spoilers so we can just spoil the whole thing?
Yeah, let's get into spoilers, yeah.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers!
It's Bring Her Back!
Yeah, literally a circle.
Bring him back, please. The mom, the whole thing is just the mom is gonna do some like obviously demon ritual to bring back her husband,
right? Yeah. Who's dying.
Allegedly it works, I guess. Like, some dude, I didn't understand this character at all, some like rando bearded homeless looking guy, because that's just
you have a cowboy
everybody's
hat?
Idea everybody's idea of like a witch craft person is going to be like this guy for some reason. Comes in, doesn't say a word, because I guess he's foreign, I don't know. This guy gets weird on Colby too, like starts sniffing on him and kind of harassing her, and the mom's like, no, just let him. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what is this? Like, what happened? It made me think, like, okay, what is this writer director trying to say? That maybe the idea was her father or somebody died, and then the stepfather or whatever was a creep. I don't know. Maybe that was the idea. I don't know. It was just weird. I thought it was weird.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to show that the mother didn't want to lose him. They basically imply that the mother was keeping him alive because she didn't want to lose him, because she felt she would not feel useful. She would not have a value if he passed away. Like, him getting sick is sort of like her way of taking care of him. But like, if she loses that, then she doesn't know who she is or what meaning her life has anymore, is the implication, right? Because like, early on in the movie, he's like...
Because she needs a man in her life?
Wow. Well, I don't know.
Just kidding. No.
Julia Max did it, not me, okay?
It's very dependent on needing men in their lives in this movie.
I think it's one of those where they're trying to show like how she's older and like she's been in this long relationship. She wasn't ready to let him go. She was trying to hold on to him because she's like... Supposedly, it's unconfirmed that she's like holding back the morphine for him so he would cry out for it so she could feel needed. Oh. I think is the implication there.
I think, yeah, she was putting steroids in his creatine. And then it was the wrong movie.
Some nurse explained that, right? That came over because he had like an episode or something early on in the movie and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what is there to spoil? They do the ritual, and then because Colby didn't do everything she was told to do, I think it was like burn all the possessions, or I don't know. I didn't understand that. It was like burn everything that reminded you of her father. I don't know. I didn't understand why that was important, but she kept an old photo of her and her father, which, to be fair, I probably would be like, no, fuck that. I'm going to keep this. That's weird. I don't believe this shit. But also, I don't think I would have taken it that far. I would have told my mom, I'm not doing this. You're dumb. I might have to put you in a hospital.
Right. Like, that's an interesting point because, like, what motivated her to go along with her mother?
Nothing really. I think just
grief.
The promise of money, I think.
There's that weird. Yeah, you bring that up because it's like she had this thing where, like, that money was mine or something, right? There's like, I didn't follow this plot point.
There was a whole like there her father did die, right?
He died. Yeah.
And then I think there was supposed to be some sort of inheritance and she really needed the money for something. And I don't know why I kept thinking she had like a daughter or something that you never saw and was never like showcased, but maybe that wasn't the case. I don't know. But she needed the money to pay for something pretty desperately. And it was owed to her according to the will. But since her mom was being very selfish, gave all that fucking money to the weird dude because she was like, it works.
He just went on and bought cowboy hats.
Yeah. Or he would have, except he got his face ripped off and then he was eaten by these things.
Part of the surrender is that they must surrender three things. We don't know what the third one was, right? To bring him back.
I think it was themselves. I don't know.
Well, they eventually did.
I didn't understand. Because the ending, I thought, man, I was like, it's just, I know you got to like allow yourself to believe certain religious things whenever you do with like demon movies, right? That seems to be usually the case. But at the end, it's like Colby's desperate. She doesn't know what to do. She's stuck in that circle while all these like her mom gets possessed. Her mom gets like killed by these like demon things, which look like people. And including her dad too.
Colored eyes, or not colored eyes, but like lights that they look like eyes that reflect of when sometimes you see in animals, you know, like they have that.
Yeah, like in a forest or like a cat eye or something with light shining in it. And she keeps chopping off her fingers thinking that's supposed to like do it. And she chops off a bunch of her fingers. And then there's something about she breaks through the floorboards within the circle and it makes her pop out into one of the mirrors she didn't cover because she started seeing the same sort of ghoulish creature pop up right before the ritual, which I didn't get. Like they hadn't even thought about the ritual yet, but it started happening. And it was just a repetition of realizing something about her parents. I kind of forgot because I think I did a little like, I don't think I needed this in the movie when I saw that part. It was a realization of something that her father never really loved her mother or something. I don't know. I don't really remember. I'll be honest. But some moment happened and then she went.
I think they like. It's kind of hard to describe because like she's kind of going through her memories. She's like living through her memories and some are good with her dad and her mom. They're dancing to the song or something like that. And then they also have times where they were fighting. So it's like kind of a trying to portray like a portrait of what her life was like as the daughter. Which, I mean...
Maybe accepting that her father wasn't as good of a person as she thought, or I don't know.
I didn't get that sense. I think that she seemed to like have. She clearly has a very like the mother's estranged. Like their relationship is not good. But for all intents and purposes, of what I can gather, like she had a better relationship with her dad, based on the not, I guess, flashbacks or like scenes where they kind of delve into a little bit of her past or psyche or her memories, right? I don't know. It's just, he seemed, plus even like in the mental projections of the dad, he seemed like a decent guy. Like, he's not, you know, with his shlong out or whatever, haunting his kids.
So. But I don't know. Oh, which dad had like a beard sort of goatee thing going on. Bring her back. Dad had a sort of beard goatee thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Anyway, that moment happens and she comes back out and then she decides to give up herself because she's kind of tired, I think. And she just forgives her mom. I guess that was it. I don't know. She forgives her mother, blows the circle open, and then there's like a light that pops out from up top. I'm assuming it's from heaven or something. And I'm like, okay. That's the way it ends.
Oh, okay.
yeah, exactly. Sorry, I did a bit of an eye roll when I saw that part. I was like, oh, come on. Like,
I was left a little cold by the end of the movie. But leading up to that, I kind of felt like the when we start getting into like the ritual stuff, there's like, I think there's a really cool sequence where like she is in a room and she turns her, she looks in a mirror and there's like a bunch of like eyes looking at her or something. There's eight or a pair of eyes looking at her. That was very effective. And even the last sequence where they're in this, they get transported to this thing, this other, what would you call this? Other side, like a dimension or something where these creatures live, demons live or something.
Sure. I don't know. It really just reminded me of, which is weird. I don't think I've actually seen this movie all the way through, but that Pirates of the Caribbean movie where Jack Sparrow is like on the other side and like everybody's like a clam or something. It's, it kind of reminded me of.
You know what it reminded me of, this version of their whatever other side, purgatory hell, was the hell in Bill and Ted Bogus Journey.
that's what it reminded me of.
Specifically because like there's like a huge, like in this movie there's like a huge demon or something that can't get, that encroaches over them, and like there's like this huge,
it
looked like the devil from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. That's immediately where my mind went. But to be fair, my mind always goes to Bill and Ted movies, so it's not really fair. And once they're over, they can't really figure out what to do next, how to get back, which I think is convenient because I feel like they could have had the guy spoke more, like he could have maybe walked them through what to do. It's a little too convenient that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that was like, this guy apparently has done many successful rituals like that. And it's just, he deals with a manic, widow and doesn't explain anything to her. So, I mean, I guess they're bad on both parts, to be honest.
Right, yeah. And then they get stuck on the other side, and then they basically, like, don't know what to do. They had previously already cut their fingers. The mother gets snatched up or something, right?
Yeah, because it's the first time you see the dad appear, and it's clearly not the dad. And what, like, dropped something. I don't know. Anyway, she puts her hand out of the circle and gets snatched.
Right. And then I almost feel like I knew this movie was in trouble because the first scene we see is the dad with the hands in his back and he's like eating something, right? Chewing on something. And then I thought that was going to be like the end shot or like close to the end, usually how this stuff works. But it's really like the middle of the movie we see this. I was like, oh no.
Like, what's the rest of the movie going to be? And it's just Colby trying to carry the movie.
Unfortunately.
When there's not a whole lot for you to do.
And I could see, like, this sort of, there's, like, the monologue about Colby's character forgiving her mother and basically, like, sacrificing herself. And I could totally see why that is the last thing we encounter. And then we cut to White and it says, for Susan. And I'm like, wow, this feels very heavy-handed. You know, it doesn't feel, you know, somebody, doesn't resonate with me. And it's
somebody truly wants to believe in heaven.
And it's not even specifically because it's about like mother-daughter relationship. It's just like, it just felt very orchestrated or planned or very like on the two on the nose, you know, of an ending.
Yeah.
It's saying like our parents inflicted a lot of trauma on us. So now we have to like
deal with it. Now we have to deal with it.
Basically.
The never ending cycle.
Yeah. Which Could be. I mean, those things are could be interesting. Just how this was delivered, I don't think was that interesting.
No, I think that's why there's a new incentive to have babies now, right? You get payout from the government.
Okay.
Because Donald Trump wants more babies. Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, it's a thing. He's going to award families like $1,000 because that's going to be life changing to have babies. And it's just really funny. Maybe it's because he was like, we need more generational trauma. It's not America without generational trauma. That's my Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's like a weird, I'm assuming I'm just going to pin it on the conservative right-wing Republican ideal, right?
It's got to be because we're fucking overpopulated. Why?
Well, like, from what I understand, like all it kind of like all of these billionaires are having a shit ton of kids.
Yeah.
And this is actually a thing. Like, you know how Elon Musk has a shit ton of kids. It's because like, but there's other.
Which have you heard allegedly? I mean, Grimes kind of spoke about it, but apparently Elon had a botched penis enhancement surgery.
That checks out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing surprises me because the guy's a fucking weirdo.
Oh my God. And now he's like fucking super addicted to whatever drugs.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Everybody's on drugs. Yeah. And it's like a thing where like all of these like billionaires, even the ones we don't know about, right, that aren't in the public eye, like are just having all these fucking kids because of some fucking weird thought process ideology that they're trying to, you know, imbue into like society. So just people should not have that much money. Like they clearly just like dude, just don't know how to forget how to behave like human beings, you know?
I think they should just surrender themselves to society.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a movie review podcast. All right. let me take a step down. I got off my soapbox. Anything else strike you about this movie before we close the show?
I didn't particularly enjoy this movie.
Okay, that's fair. I mean,
the positives are like, I thought the actors were good.
Hey, it was less than 90 minutes. That's a positive.
It was less than 90 minutes. That's a positive. It felt like a made for TV movie, which could be a good thing for some people. I don't know. I got nothing.
fair.
Like it started off kind of strong. I was like, all right, what are we going to watch? And then it was just kind of boring for like 50 minutes.
Fair. Yeah.
Which I understand it's somebody writing out their own issues. I understand that, but it could be pretty boring if it's the same thing over and over again for 50 minutes.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest complaint. It just wasn't different enough from something we've already been, something like this has already been made and may have probably made better. Yeah. So bring her back. Alrighty. Do you want to rate the movie?
Yes. 6.5.
That's going to say. But yes, our rating system is unscientific yet very, very sexy rating system. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you're doing.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give The Surrender 2 sexy spooky bones.
2? I was expecting like a 10. Like your ratings are throwing me off after Bring Her Back.
You know, honestly, Bring Her Back deserved like an 8.5, but
I mean, that's fair. I mean, I mean, if we had to compare these movies, Bring Her Back, like just...
Man, one is like way better. Yeah, it's like...
But I think to me, that's a correct rating because I think I gave it a 7 because...
So to be fair, I saw this movie before I saw Bring Her Back.
So did I. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember thinking like, man, this movie was bad. Like I walked away, I tried to rewatch parts of it and I was like, no, this is like, I just don't think this movie's good.
Right. Right. But I remember leaving the theater for Bring Her Back and feeling like I was conflicted. So I think that's where that 7 kind of hangs there, where there's a lot of stuff I liked, but was unsatisfied in parts of it as well. This movie I was a lot more unhappy with and frankly a little bored. So I'm going to give it a 4. Yeah. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.